Sunday, the 21st of March, 2010. We've had some lively discussions, some great questions. During the break, I was thinking about Dave from Canada. Dave, I know you're still listening. Dave, you need a plan B. Everybody needs a plan B in case your primary plan doesn't work out for whatever reason. You need a plan B. One of our regular callers from Florida, I know John from Florida, you're probably listening, John. He's working on his plan B, which is a motorhome large enough to move his loved ones and their basic essentials to get out of Dodge when the waters are coming up in Florida. So, Dave in Canada, I'm encouraging you, and I'm encouraging everyone to get a plan B for a secondary location that you will be welcome, you'll be expected, and you can go there with your loved ones and your emergency essential supplies and start over again. John DiNardo, are you still there, sir?
Yes, I am, John.
Okay, we've got three calls on hold here. Should we just jump back into the callers?
Whatever you want to do, John, it's fine
with
me.
Okay. Well, before that, I know at the top of the hour we should have some new listeners. Let's get your information out on where they can listen to your radio show every Sunday evening.
Okay. It's called Planet X in Bible Prophecy, and it's a radio drama. It has a profuse information from various fields, the field of science, the field of Bible prophecy, and also psychic predictions, all converging on the fact that a global disaster will occur very soon. It's a recurring disaster. Anyway, the program is on 10 p.m. Eastern Sundays. Every Sunday, 10 p.m. Eastern on shortwave 3185, shortwave frequency 3185, simulcast on the Internet on WWRB. That's two W's, not three. WWRB.org.
All right. We got a break coming up. John, hold on. Callers, hold on. We'll be right back.
And now here's more of John Moore on the Republic Broadcasting Network.
All right, we're back, ladies and gentlemen. We're back. This is J.R. Moore. It is Sunday, the 21st of March, 2010. We're visiting today with my friend John DiNardo, talking about Planet X. Now we start out with the swine flu vaccine biological weapon, the first hour. But now we're focusing on the thing that is my primary focus when it comes to preparedness, and that is the 10th planet. And the cyclical nature of this event, John, I don't know. I think I may have told you that, about the Messianic rabbi that I met who came to the conclusion you and I did by studying the Torah. And you can do that. Just by studying the Old Testament, you can come to understand the cyclical nature of this event that we're in the process of going through. And
yes.
I think you've came to the same conclusion, haven't you, John?
Yes, that's true. There's a lot of information from God in the Old Testament that tells us, God warns us about his punishing, what I call, in fact, I'm planning to write a quick essay on that and put it out to many interested parties. And the title would be The Destroyer, God's Periodic Punishing Pendulum.
Absolutely.
And the pendulum
I tell people that the Babylonians knew about the planet Pluto. They knew its size, its location, its orbit. Something we didn't know until what, about 1900 or so?
1930, Clyde Tombaugh.
That recently? Oh boy. Okay.
Yeah, at the Lowell Observatory discovered it and amazingly he was searching for Planet X. He was searching, it was ever since 1781, believe it or not, astronomers throughout the world have been searching for an unseen planet, unseen but felt, gravitationally felt, in the tugging and perturbations of the outer planets. And he was searching for it, looking for the accolades that would come with the discovery of this planet, and in the process he discovered Pluto.
Well, I tell people this, John, and I thought it was more, a little farther back, but 1930 is really close to us. You know, I tell people this, and they don't have a response. And how could, you know, when you go through school, at least, if, you know, public schools, learning whatever you learned about archaeology, the Babylonians were leaving their written records about 4,000 years ago, I believe. And to think that people had that kind of technology that we've only had for 70 years is pretty amazing. In fact, I believe it was the island of Crete, one of the Mediterranean islands. Archaeologists recently found a four-story building with flush toilets built before Jesus Christ was born.
Amazing. And you know,
it
Brent,
is, isn't it? You know,
it sure is. These civilizations that come and go because every time they develop to a high technological state, they have also reached a high level of evil to where God will destroy them and they have to start all over again. Many people, many scientists have spoken the way you have about the ancient high technology civilizations that existed thousands of years ago, the Sumerians, in which is now present day Iraq. They had Brent Miller of the Horizon Project. You can go to thehorizonproject.com, I believe, and you'll find the research that team of scientists have done, and they say there were flying machines back then, thousands of years ago, before I think it was around the sinking of Atlantis, and that's dated by many archaeologists to be approximately around 8,500 to 9,000 BC.
Right.
They had flying machines. They had a high technology.
Well, they did, and I don't know. Have you and I discussed the Black Knight, John?
No, we haven't.
Okay. I know we got a lot of callers on hold, but this is worthwhile because, first of all, I ran across it first in a book written by Jonathan Gray.
The title
of the book is Dead Man's Secrets, and I verified it through private sources. And I had a friend of mine make an inquiry with a United States senator about 4 weeks ago, and the U.S. senator verified it also. Not that I needed it, but my friend needed a little more verification. When the Sputnik went up in 51 years ago, and our satellite went up a few months later, they set up optical and radar tracking stations all over the planet. What they found, John, there was already a man-made satellite up there. It's got two nicknames. One is the Black Knight. The other is the Cryogenic Box. It's 20,000 miles high, just below the Van Allen radiation belt, and is estimated to be 12,000 years old. Two of its three dimensions I know, 40 by 70 feet. And that's about where the trail ends. I believe we probably had enough lift capability with the Apollo space missions to get that high up and gain access to the contents of that box, start bringing it down, and reverse engineering it. But that's a matter of the highest national priority and also highest national secrecy and national security, the fact that this thing even exists.
Wow, that's fantastic. David J. Smith reported, I was just listening to one of David J. Smith's sermons, and he reported that fact also.
Oh, he reported on the Black Knight?
Yeah, well, he did. He said, where did that satellite come from? 22,000 miles of? No,
22,000 miles up, 12,000 years old.
Right, and he said, we don't have satellites that go that high, so where did that satellite come from? And he was talking about the ancient civilization.
And it's on a polar orbit. We've only been able to do polar orbits, 25, 30 years or so? Let's get to these calls. They've been very patient. Bob in Ohio, go ahead, Bob.
Briefly, hi, fellas. I'm not up on all the knowledge there, but first of all, they're going to ram this health care bill through, make no mistake about it. Second of all, the thing we need to draw attention to and get people's outcry and stonewall them on is taking natural medicines and vitamins. They want to take them off the shelf, and they are determined to do that, okay, the criminal government. They are determined to take off your natural vitamins, mineral supplements, and natural remedies.
They are, absolutely, Bob.
Okay, that's the other thing. Third of all, the only way to stop this criminal government is for the governors, for people to rise up and demand the governors and the attorney generals now present, okay, take up a multi-class action suit against the FDA, the CDC, the Department of Health, and the pharmaceutical companies, both Bayer and Baxter and others, to take up a statewide, multi-statewide class action suit against those entities, okay, because the FDA is in on it, the CDC is right. in on it, et cetera, et cetera.
That's a terrific idea.
And that is, but you're going to have to move on the governors and the attorney generals of each state to take up a multi-state class action suit in behalf of the American people.
Something we're already seeing in that regard is laws being passed, say in the firearms industry, for example, laws being passed that a firearm manufactured in the state of Montana has no regulation over it by the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, Firearms, and Explosives. And
the other thing
is driving the feds nuts.
Yeah. I want to make this brief because you have so much valuable information to share with the American public. The other thing is there is only two ways that the three Great Lakes up there are going to become an ocean inlet, and that's if DARPA, HARP, and the criminal government to be, because you know they want to push through the North American Union, and they're not going to do anything about the illegal 15 to 25 million illegal immigrants, unless we scream bloody murder. And I don't know if they're going to do anything about it then, but this health care bill, there's involvement in that, and people have to really get up and educated. There's only two ways that the Great Lakes are going to, the military saying that's going to become an ocean inlet. There are only two ways that's going to happen. And that's if the rotation of the Earth's axis changes, okay, or that man does it through DARPA and HARP, and they maneuver and do their earthquake deal and cause it. In other words, there's only two ways for it to happen. That's for the same people like the Secretary of the Air Force a number of years ago wanted Congress's permission to microwave, to be able to be legally allowed to microwave for crowd control on the American people. And the Congress said no because there was such an outcry of it, both within the military and civilians.
Okay.
And you guys go ahead, and there's only two ways that's going to happen up there with the Great Lakes. That's if they cause it or if the Earth's axis changes.
Okay. Well, thank you, Bob. We appreciate the call. The topic of a pole shift is hotly debated in a lot of areas, John. You and I really haven't talked about it that I can think of. I'm not 100% sure there would be a pole shift. I believe if there was one, it would be possibly 15 to 17 degrees. What are your thoughts on that, John?
Well, first of all, the pole shifts have occurred in the past. And according to James McCanney and a number of other people, during the last passage of Planet X, which was approximately 1500 BC, there was a pole shift. And James McCanney and others say that the North Pole was actually around where Ontario, Canada, is right now, around that area. So what happened was Ontario, Canada, that area, rotated southward from the North Pole.
We got a break. Hold on, everybody. Stay tuned. We'll be right back after the break. Back, says Darrell Bird. It's Sunday, the 21st of March, 2010. A quick reminder, my friend Freeze Dry Guy does have the highest quality freeze-dried food at the best prices shipping included. Go to his website to find out about the March special. He's running a special this month. He doesn't do it every month. His website is freezedryguy.com. And there's a link to my website, thelibertyman.com. And there's some new things at my website. A grand natural fertilizer made from fish for your fruits, for your vegetable garden and fruit trees. And, of course, the Berkey water filters. I've been a dealer. Finally got my webmaster to post the Berkey water filters on my website. And if you need one, actually you should have two. One is none, two is one, as we say. A catchphrase I picked up from James Wesley Rawls. And let's see, John DiNardo, you still there, sir?
Yes, hi, John.
We're having fun here. Are you okay on time?
Oh, yes.
Okay. I don't want to take you away from something. We only scheduled you for 1 hour, but the calls just keep pouring in here. We got three men on hold, and we'll go right to Steve in New Hampshire. Go ahead, Steve.
Yeah, just had 4 points. That was Daddy of Big Ears, Prince Philip, that painted that comment about being reincarnated as a plague.
Right.
I took my technician's test today.
And?
I passed.
Fantastic. Congratulations.
And your statement about Lowe's you made here a while back, I can confirm that. They just built a new Lowe's on that strip of what's left in New Hampshire.
Okay.
In your video.
Okay.
And then you said something about April 12th on Dr. Deagle's show.
Right.
I didn't catch that.
Well, that comes from the Torah code, Bible code. According to the Torah code, there will be a massive earthquake. We don't know where. Sometime on April 12th, and I was talking to Tim Spencer about this the other day, who's one of the students of the Torah code. Given the date, the international dateline, for example, it's already tomorrow in Asia. So, a friend of mine who's a flight attendant, I said, just take off the 11th, 12th, and 13th, just to be extra sure, because with the international dateline, I really can't tell which April 12th it's going to be and where at on the planet.
Wow.
Anything else,
right,
Steve?
No, right, I appreciate ahead. The info.
Okay, you're welcome. Thank you, sir. And before we go to our next caller,
I'm scheduled
John,
to be in New York City on April 12th.
Before we go to our next caller, how many degrees is it from Ontario to our current North Pole, approximately?
Oh, let's see. Well, it's hard to estimate because I don't have my globe. It's down in the basement.
I'm thinking maybe 20 degrees or so.
It could be, maybe even more than that. But
okay.
See, what has happened is that when this planet passes by, it has a tremendous magnetic field, because it's like it just says the Earth has a magnetic field.
Right.
And when you take two magnets, not only magnetic but gravitational attraction,
right.
So there's two
right.
forces that are acting as it comes, if it comes close enough, which could be as close as 15 million miles, which is considered really really close.
It is
the gravitational fields of Planet X or one of its thousands of surrounding comets. Also, you could have very large comets surrounding it. Will the magnetic field of that passing space body will lock up magnetically and also gravitationally with Earth, and as it whizzes by below Earth and also coming above, it's going to first come below Earth, go around up and around the backside of the Sun, and then go whip over the top of the Sun and then come back over the top of Earth, so we get a double whammy.
Right.
If we don't get hit the first time, we'll catch something the second time from above.
Not physically hit, but feel the effects. Action
yes.
and assistance. Yes.
Right, exactly. I shouldn't use the word hit because that is misleading. We'll
no,
never
that,
get hit
that
by
is it. A bit, you know, confusing for people.
So there's a magnetic, electromagnetic, and a gravitational attraction that will put a spin on Earth, just similar to the way a bowler puts a spin on a bowling ball when he releases it.
Right.
He
right.
throws his hand upward and it puts a spin on the ball. Of course, the Earth is not going to spin. It's going to rotate a certain amount. And yeah. That's what we have to be concerned about. We don't know how close it's going to be, but the Lord Jesus God, our Savior, the Creator, who dictated the Bible, told us in Matthew 24, Mark 13, and Luke 21. He made sure he told us three times, and in fact, he told us in Revelation also, that this is going to be the worst catastrophe that the earth has ever seen. And there's been many of them before in the past, going right back even before 11,000 B.C. So if this is going to be the worst, worse than the sinking of Atlantis, worse than the flood of Noah's day, worse than the Exodus, then this is going to be, if he said, if it were not for the elect's sake, no flesh would be saved alive. So pray, pray, and keep your heart with God the Savior every day and every minute so that you might be one of those elect.
Well, I wish I had a way to disagree with you, John, but I don't, because everything you know certainly concurs with my knowledge. We had a break here coming up real quick, but Mike in Minnesota, let's get you started here before the break.
First thing I want to say,
and the break is here, Mike. Hold that thought. Break's here. Call number is 800-313-9443. Stay tuned, everyone, please.
You've got an inside corner on the truth, thanks to John Moore and the Republic Broadcasting Network. To talk to John Moore live on the air, call 1-800-313-9443.
All right, we're back, ladies and gentlemen. We're back. This is J.R. Moore. It is Sunday, the 21st day of March, 2010. Mike from Minnesota, he really didn't hardly get started. Go ahead and with your question, sir.
Hi, John. Thanks for taking my call. My one thing to start off with is for Mr. DiNardo, get rid of those, please, those gallon jugs. Go to your farm store and pick you up a couple for your basement of those 100-gallon water tanks, put you a spigot on there, and get you a Berkey. And if you live in a country, I don't know, but you could do it in a city, I imagine, is they sell 1,500-gallon tanks, too. And water will be more precious than gold that's drinkable before long.
Thanks for the advice.
I mean, literally, it will. You can't drink gold, but you can drink water, and that will prove itself out before long. The other thing is, John, I emailed you, but I don't know if you ever got it. But my question was this.
Which John?
Moore.
Okay, go ahead.
I'm sorry. Now, those, what are they called? They put them on semi-trailers, on shipping containers. The ones that are on ships.
Okay.
And then they put them on trucks.
Tracking devices?
Well, would those work? Because, I mean, you were talking on a past show about 400-mile-an-hour winds or something. And, I mean, I'm in western Minnesota, about 30 miles from South Dakota. And we're, you know, this is like the open prairie.
Okay.
And, you know, when you said 400-mile-an-hour winds or whatever,
the number I hear frequently is 200 miles an hour, but you're thinking about a shipping container for a shelter?
Yeah, getting a backhoe and, you know, burying it.
Okay. Let me help you.
Or is this area possibly going to be flooded, and do I need a boat?
Well, you always need a plan B, like I say. I don't know. Minnesota's not as much risk as Wisconsin is. Shipping containers will not take the pressure of being buried unless they're heavily reinforced.
Okay, on the roof side.
On the sides also. You'll get a lot of deflection on the sides as well as the roof. All the strength is in the edges and corners. That's where they get all their strength. The walls themselves aren't all that strong. They're not meant to hold that kind of pressure. So you would have to heavily reinforce them before you could bury them and not get deflection.
Okay, so to build, to pre-build walls and then put them inside of that.
Right. Okay?
Yeah. Okay, that's pretty much about it.
Okay, thank you for your call. We got a listener asking if I know about Obama's references to the earthquake in Hawaii. I'm not sure about him talking about it. Have you heard about that, John?
No, I haven't. Tell me about it.
I wish I could, but then I'm not sure which.
The caller's not on the line.
Left a message.
Oh,
let's go to Jim in my home state, Missouri. Go ahead, Jim.
Hi, John and John.
Hi.
I appreciate you allowing me on. I'm totally off topic here, but this has been in my crawl for about a year and a half. I'm watching the debate on C-SPAN in the U.S. House of Representatives.
Right.
And if you look at the, when they show it, you will see fasci on each side of the flag. Those are the symbols of fascism, the same symbols that Hitler used in his propaganda. And I want to know, why are they there?
You talking about those axes bundled up with the sticks?
That's the fasci.
Right. That goes back to Roman times.
Yes, it does.
Yep. Yep.
And those are the symbols of fascism, same ones that Hitler and Mussolini used.
Right. All right, those
and
are
I'm wondering, why are they on the wall of our house surrounding our flag?
Because that's a good question.
And
these people are,
government.
They're real heavy into symbolism. John, you got a thought on that, why that Roman symbol of fasci is there?
Well, they're very bold in representing their signs of their planned dictatorship. They've had those fasci there for many years. That was always the plan of the power elite who control our government and who have controlled our government for us. Literally a couple centuries, that to have a complete dictatorship, the British crown has owned the United States government.
Yeah, I've got here at just a few feet from where I'm sitting, a shoulder patch I wore in Vietnam, the United States Army Vietnam, and it's got the Roman short sword on it.
Yeah. Yeah.
So they like this kind of symbology and connection to the what was the Republic of Rome. And they're real caught up in all that stuff.
Yes, you're right.
One more comment on the previous caller was making mention of using those containers as like a shelter.
Right.
There is a book that is available online. I got it years ago, but it's called the $50 and Up Underground House.
Oh yeah, I'm familiar with the book.
And
I'll remember that title.
That's a good possibility for a lot of people.
Well, if you can get one, delivered to you. There's a lot of those available now on the market because of the market conditions. In fact, my son-in-law sells remodeled ones with a heavy. You can get them with a heavy door and locks that basically require a cutting torch to get them open from an outside vendor, but. You can get them delivered to your house for less than $2,000. So it's rare. For what you get, it's a lot of bang for the buck, a lot of cubic feet of space for not much money.
Right. Anyway, appreciate the time, John and John.
Yeah.
And as
a comparison, I've seen at Sam's discount store, little plastic, yard storage sheds that were maybe 10 by 10 feet for $900. So it's a lot of space for the money, these shipping containers. Craig from Ontario, go ahead, sir.
Hi there, John. Thanks for taking my call.
You're welcome.
I live, right between two Great Lakes up here in southwestern Ontario. My elevation is about 1,500 feet. And I think I remember one time you were saying if you're 400 or more above, you're okay.
Right.
But what about with the effects of being near the Great Lakes?
Well, you should be okay. Do you know much about the geology? Are you on rock or are you on sand or do you know?
I'm sorry, I don't know.
Okay, that might be a good thing to find out.
Okay.
I know I was on a vacation near Lake Michigan, and the little resort was, 200 feet, easily 200 feet above Lake Michigan, but it was all sand. And in fact, it was washing away pretty dramatically. So not a good place to be when earth changes happen on a foundation on a house built on sand, as the Bible would say. I would check out the geology
where we live. I think
I really would, Craig. I would check out the geology of where you are, and it might give you some peace of mind, or it might want to cause you to want to move.
Okay, thank you.
That's a good point about having a what they call a plan to a scoot plan, how to get out of there, which way you're going to go. I don't even have that myself. Plan in advance what routes you're going to take, considering that roads may be impassable or blockaded.
Right.
It's difficult. It takes a lot of
These are important things, and always have a plan B and a plan C. And a alternative safe haven to go to where there's people there waiting for you, expecting you. You might even have pre-positioned supplies, food, medical supplies, ammunition, clothing, and so forth. Pre-position it, your plan B, alternative safe haven. You might be very limited in what you can carry. Now, this is addressed also in Rawls' book, Patriots Surviving the Coming Collapse, by the way. The fictional characters in there had pre-positioned supplies in Idaho, and they were living in Chicago.
Well, that's a pretty ambitious trip.
It is, and two of the characters waited too long. The scenario there is a fast-moving economic collapse leading to a societal collapse. And two of the characters waited too long, and they ended up as refugees basically for more than a year, attempting to get to their safe haven.
Yeah, I mean, if you can make your safe haven as close to home as possible, that's the way to go.
As long as it's a safe, yes.
In terms of earth changes, you never know where, but Mark Hazelwood did a lot of research and public speaking, as well as writing a book, Mark Hazelwood. And he spoke about, his book was, incidentally, you can still get it on Amazon. It's called Blindsided.
That was his first book. The second one, I have a page in his second book, by the way, that I wrote. I know Mark and have interviewed him several times. He was one of the pioneers in getting the word out to the public, by the way.
Yes. Mark talked about the, goats, not going to the mountainous areas because that's very dangerous, and not going to the low areas, but going to the rolling hills as a type of terrain or an elevation that you would be looking for.
Well,
stay away from bodies of water.
It's not that mountains are, it depends on the mountains. Like we call what we have down here in the Ozarks mountains, but people out in Wyoming and Colorado laugh at that. Our mountains here are 1,200, 1,500 feet above sea level. They're old, worn-down mountains is what they are. But the higher elevations, when you get 10,000, 12,000 feet high, it gets very, very difficult to grow anything once you get above the tree line. You'd have to have greenhouses and have to have a source of energy and so forth to grow fresh fruits and vegetables once you get to those higher elevations. That would be really tough.
Yeah, there's so many dangers to watch out for. We were talking about shelters. Now, Mark Hazelwood had also spoken not only about trying to stay or go situate yourself in the rolling hills, but also to look for a dome home. And he did mention Italy, Texas, spelled like the country Italy. Italy, Texas, people can Google that and see if there's still a dome home manufacturer there.
They're around the country, and monolithic concrete domes is probably the most cost-effective way to build a really tough, strong shelter for most people.
Monolithic concrete domes.
Yes.
Right,
yes.
Okay.
And there's two ways to build them. One is with mild steel reinforcement. The other is with post-tension concrete, which is the best. If you can afford it, that's the strongest type of concrete there is. Post-tension concrete.
Yeah, because you need a dome structure to withstand the winds. We expect winds now, and this is no exaggeration, at least 200 miles an hour, straight line winds.
At least. And it won't be just the wind. You know, that would pick up a school bus and make it a projectile.
Oh, yeah. You have to have a dome. Now, Mark Hazelwood had spoken about a case. Now, this is an idea, too. I've thought about small domes, something small enough that you can just temporarily house you and your few members of the family.
A small shelter as opposed to a house.
Right. Like some woman, he said, had a dome enclosure. I guess it might have been maybe 10 or 12 feet in diameter. And she was in there during a tornado and she survived.
Right.
I mean, even
well,
if everything collapses.
That's basically a storm shelter. Any strong shelter underground in that manner, a root cellar, a storm shelter, when you get out to your tornado country in Kansas, you see lots of these. In my neighborhood, we have old root cellars people built years ago before refrigeration. Anything like that that's below grade, as we say, would be fine. Okay. Is Craig from Ontario gone? Or is he still there? Okay, he's gone. That's fine. I want to make sure his questions were all answered. There's a lot to this. What is Hazelwood's second book? Do you recall the name of it?
Delicate Earth. I have it right here.
I have my copies, not where I'm sitting. Delicate Earth. Well, you'll see a page in there that I authored, John, if you go through there.
Okay.
I don't recall what page it is, but I did author one page in that book. Mark's one of the good guys. He got caught up, and he apologized in the second book for getting caught up in this May 2003 stuff, was it?
Yes, right.
Yeah.
But his information was very good because he had taken it from many reliable sources. And, of course, somebody must have slipped him disinformation, probably the government.
He was paying attention to this woman, Nancy Leader, who was talking to aliens. Still claims to talk to aliens. If you want to discredit yourself instantly, publicly claim that you have communications with aliens, and you will instantly discredit yourself. Oh, we do have a caller here, Michael in Texas. Go ahead, Michael. Michael, go ahead. You're on the air. Michael in Texas. Okay.
John, if I could just interject with a couple little facts about information as to the Planet X, the credibility of this issue. One point is that over 25 years ago, one of the many geologists that attested to the fact that there have been polar shifts in the past, that is the geographical shift of the Earth's crust.
True north, not magnetic north.
That's right. That the Earth's crust actually rotated, sort of like the way Mark Hazelwood describes in his book. If you have an overripe peach and you grab the skin of that peach with your entire hand, the palm of your hand, wrap your hand around it, you can actually slip the skin of that peach around the flesh. The flesh will not move, but the skin will move, and that's exactly what happened.
That's a good analogy.
The crust
that's
of the
an
Earth.
Excellent analogy.
Right, there's a geologist, 25 years ago, I have him on videotape. His name is Carl Lobstrom at the Pisgah Lava Beds in near Barstow, California. Mm. And he on videotape stated, he says, we can prove with geological flows, lava flows that have hardened. They hardened soon after the lava flows during this great disaster. And you can see the magnetic structure of the iron and magnetite molecules in the lava after it hardens. And that tells you that's a footprint, more or less, a fingerprint of the past. And it proves that the magnetic north was in a different position.
In a dramatically different position. And we got our caller from Texas is ready. Michael, go ahead.
I'm wondering, I'm an avid reader and stuff, and I was wondering if there are any books you guys could recommend. I'm really into the Sumerian Age and what it has to do with the future. Is there any books that you guys could recommend so I could get a good snap?
Well, there are several books. I think Zechariah Sitchin has authored three books, and I've got a video that he did on my website, Michael. Are We Alone in the Universe, done by Zechariah Sitchin. Sitchin can pick up Babylonian clay tablets and read them like you and I can read the newspaper.
Yeah, I mean, that's the stuff I'm looking at. I educate a lot of people.
That's great. Hold on, Michael. We got a break coming up. John, hold on and stay tuned. We'll be right back. We're back, ladies and gentlemen. We're back. Michael, are you still there? You got a quick wrap-up question here?
No, I just wanted to give me some good books to look into and find out about the history of the world and things of that nature.
Let me recommend another author, Jonathan Gray.
Jonathan Gray,
Jonathan Gray. His website is beforeus.com. Excellent. He knows about all that. And Michael Cremo, C-R-E-M-O, Michael Cremo. has an excellent book. It's about 800 or 900 pages.
Mm-hmm. Another one is, I'm trying to remember the title, but write down these authors if you can. And when you get these two authors, you'll find the book. The authors are Allen, I think it's A-L-L-A-N, and the other one is DeLair, D-E-L-A-I-R.
Oh, yeah.
If you just Google those names, you'll get a good book.
All right.
What's about to happen.
I've got that book also.
Really
it's a good
Thank
one.
Thank you very much.
Okay. One other thing, go to this website. You get a wealth of information in the form of videos, CDs, books, articles, everything. Current information too, as well as older stuff. It's YOWUSA.com. YOWUSA.com.
All right, Michael. Thank you for your call. We appreciate it. John, I don't want to cut you off here when the show ends up, so I want to thank you profusely for taking your time from your Sunday afternoon to be with us here and get this information out. Let's get your location of your radio show, the time, and how to listen to it out one more time, please.
Okay, it's tonight, Sunday night, and every Sunday at 10 p.m. Eastern Time on shortwave station 3185, shortwave frequency 3185, 3185, 10 p.m. Eastern every Sunday. Also, simulcast on WWRB, that's two W's, not three, WWRB.org.
Fantastic. John, thank you for your time, sir. I will be in touch, and we'll get caught up soon here.
Thank you for having me, John.
Okay, thank you. All right, we're almost out of time, ladies and gentlemen. We got a brand new week coming up, a week to be productive. Work on your spiritual preparation. Work on your skills. Work on your supplies and equipment. There's always something to do. Once you get in this lifestyle of being prepared, you'll find that it's a never-ending process of learning new things, maintaining equipment, getting supplies, and training and so forth. It just never ends. And that's the way it should be. It should just become part of your lifestyle, not something that you buy stuff, throw it in a closet, and hope that you know how to work it and that it's ready for you when you need it. That would not be a wise thing to do. New things on my website, thelibertyman.com, a grand fertilizer to help you grow the best quality and high nutrition fruits and vegetables with natural fertilizer. No petrochemicals, and that's a really, really good thing to get the high nutrition and value out of the effort that you're putting into your vegetable garden and your fruit trees. So please check that out if you get the time. And check out the Republic Broadcasting website. There's a lot of good things there. Books you can get, videos, equipment like Berkey water filters. So please check out Republic Broadcasting's website as well. And I should mention, I'm on Micro Effect, Monday through Friday, 7 to 8 Central. And I co-host a show with Dr. Bill Deagle on Genesis from 4 to 5 Central every Friday. So I am busy, busy, busy doing lots of radio. But I like being busy and like getting the word out to you folks. All right. I hear music. You all have a wonderful afternoon, a great week. Please buy lots of ammunition, and God bless America.
With recent internet